to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode number 85 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Only 15 shows away from that historic century mark. I'm pretty pumped about that, I'm not going to lie. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. MIS Weekend is officially here. I am recording live in Radio Room 3 of the Michigan International Speedway Media Center. I'm here with my wife, Lindsay, NASCAR by marriage, as you guys know her.
Hi, Lindsay.
Lindsay. Yunker Motorsports should be here, but they are a little behind schedule here, so they will be here a little later.
Brad's putting his makeup on.
I'm sure Brad's putting his makeup on. And you guys are hearing a voice that's very familiar on the show, who likes to crash the Media Center show nice and early. Ladies and gentlemen, the Orange Cone, sir.
I feel like I've 85 shows. I've been on 84 of them.
It feels like it. It's up there. I think you've definitely cracked the double-digit mark by now. That's for sure.
I mean, I'm definitely the best guest you've ever had.
Obviously.
Most loyal, that's for sure.
Yes, that's no kidding. So, Cohen, I've been doing some extra shows as of late. Since the last MIS race weekend, which started with the Tuesday show June 5th with Sherwin from PETM, It's been 10 weeks. I've done 15 shows. Been
nice.
doing some extra content. I know Lindsay's looking forward to me taking a break from the extra content shows.
But I don't listen to them, so I wouldn't know.
I understand. That means you've listened to 10, right?
Unless I'm on, I don't listen. It's my rule.
Now, with that said, I have a stacked lineup for you guys today. Ben Rhodes. Along with Myatt Snyder.
Wait, who's Myatt? Who?
Gosh, Cohen, you got to get with it.
Actually, keep going. I'm going to make up for that here in a second.
Julius Curry will be back on later today. Grant Enfinger will be on. And a very big fan favorite, Mr. Matt DiBenedetto. And hey,
D Burrito.
And I've got walking capabilities now. So
bring
in
Ryan Ellis with him.
I do believe Ryan Ellis.
Yeah,
will
you
be
should
here.
Put Ryan Ellis on the mic. I actually had a chance. I was up at the Ford Mustang reveal yesterday. Had a chance to talk to Ben Rhodes, Myatt Snyder, Grant Enfinger. Three guys you're going to have on the show.
Yes.
And Ryan Ellis was there yesterday as well.
Very cool.
All really great guys.
Yes.
You won't find two nicer young men than Ben Rhodes and Myatt Snyder. And, of course, Grant, fantastic.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to talking to him about the last few laps at Eldora there with...
He's going to love talking about that.
I'm sure
that.
He is. I know. Cohen, what's been going on with you, man?
Living the dream, my man. One race at a time.
I hear you. So
it says right in my bio.
You ain't lying.
I ain't lying.
How's the new gig going?
New gig is doing... it's been very, very fun.
Awesome.
We're not going to say what that gig is,
sure.
But the people who know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And it's been a lot of fun. I feel like I'm doing what I need to be doing and should be doing. And I've got a lot of really great people behind me that are very supportive and give me everything I need to do to get that job done. And it's a great team to a great organization. When I say team, a great organization to work for and work with. And they're all a bunch of people who are in racing for the right reasons. They're not, if they get famous, that's great, but that's not what they're doing it for.
Sure.
They're racers. You know, they want to come out and race and put on a good show. And it's just an honor for me to be a part of it.
That's fantastic, man. Very happy for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
So June was fun. We were a little wet in June, but all had fun hanging out with Moise. With Sherwin and all that. We miss you, Sherwin. We wish you were here.
Yeah, Sherwin, what's up? Brandon and I we're going to have a Utah standoff in a little bit. Lindsay's going to officiate.
She's going to judge it. All right.
Yeah. Don't break eye contact, Brandon.
I won't.
Right. how do you win?
I'm not telling you how you win. Cohen, what do you think of Chase Elliott's win last weekend?
Long overdue.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, all right, so I sent this tweet out after the race. It says Bill Elliott was in 99 races, had 8 second place finishes, and won his first race on a road course. Chase Elliott was in 99 races, had 8 second place finishes, won his first race on a road course. Awesome. Well, everyone wants to point out what an idiot I am because, well, Bill Elliott actually started 115 races before he got his first win. But listen, Brandon.
I'm listening.
If you've started 115 races. That means you have actually been in 99 races. Okay, it's like how many
what you're doing there.
It's like how many months have 28 days?
Right,
all well, of one. Them. No, no, all of them do. Them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So everyone who wanted to point that, I hate having to explain jokes. I hate it. Everyone thought that. Oh, first of all, there's like people who thought that like was like a legit stat.
Right.
Which,
right.
you know, I get it. Every now and then I'll post something relatively legit. And then there are the people who want to tell me what an idiot I am for getting it just blatantly wrong. And it's like, well, it's a parody account. So
right. Yeah, on. Right. Yeah. What do you
yeah, I mean, what do you want?
What do you expect?
I mean, this is the guy who makes fun of Clint Boyer's name whenever it rains. Right. Come on.
Oh, that's funny. All right. MIS this weekend. Yeah. Wrapping up the 50th anniversary of yeah. MIS. That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. I was not here for the first.
No. Neither was I.
I started coming here around 1977. So I'm, you know, 10 years into the track's history. But I've had so many of my favorite racing memories have been here. I used to come and buy scalper tickets out on the street when I was, you know, 19 years old. Me and my brother would come up and sit in the parking lot all morning and wait for the gates to open, and we'd sit and bake in the grandstands all day.
Oh, yeah.
I can remember some flyovers here that I thought I was going to die. You know, there was so normally when you do a flyover with a jet, you know, you can see it coming from like the north end of the racetrack, turns 3 and 4, uh-huh. and it'll fly across the track from turns 1 and 2. Well, this guy was pretty sneaky because he was flying a very high-speed jet airplane, and he came from behind the grandstands. So you didn't hear him
until
you saw him,
yeah.
and we all thought we were going to die. It was the sneakiest thing ever. And yeah, but it was really cool. You know, one of the favorite things I think I've ever seen was here in June with the guy in the cannon.
Was that not crazy?
Yeah.
That was impressive. Like, I wasn't sure, like, if it was... There was a lot of build for that.
He talked a lot.
There was a lot of build for it, and...
I was ready to jump through the microphone and put him in the cannon myself and
right.
pull the trigger.
Right.
Like, will you shut them?
Yeah, just yeah. do it already.
Just
like,
do it.
Yeah. And it was really cool. I mean, he had fireworks going off when he popped out of the top part there, and he got some distance. That was...
Not enough.
Not enough. I think one of the funnier parts of that was seeing all of the GIF reactions
yeah,
of all the
Jamie
drivers.
McMurray.
Jamie McMurray
yeah,
and Kyle Larson
he
was
will
classic.
Live on in infamy.
Yes.
Yeah, he will.
Yes.
Yeah, he will. No. But, you know, so many other things. You know, I've been really fortunate. My daughter comes to almost every race that I work here, and she has had the extreme good fortune to meet just about every winner but one here since 2012.
That's awesome.
Actually, since 2011.
Nice.
Actually dating back to before the race before I started working here.
Okay.
She met Greg Biffle, Jimmy Johnson.
Very
which
cool.
I don't know if I've ever told this story publicly, but we were sitting. Jimmy was in the media center doing his post race, and
yeah.
we had come down and we're waiting out in the lobby of the media center. And as he's coming out, and so when drivers are going from point A to point B, they hardly ever stop.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
They, you know, they have so many people calling out to them and doing, you know, just
it's
trying to get their
eyes
attention.
Eyes forward and a quick march.
That's right. And they may look at you
yeah.
and
yeah.
smile, but they'll keep moving.
Yeah.
Jimmy's coming out, and he's done. He's ready to get back to the bus and get changed and get the hell out of here. And he comes out, and I put my hand out and say, Jimmy. And he looks right at me, and I say, I'm the orange cone. Nice to meet you. And he freezes. And he looks at me, and he goes, no shit. And my daughter was standing right there, and
that's
she's
awesome.
She's just laughing. He could not have been nicer.
Oh, that's funny.
Jimmy,
that's a good story.
Normally, I've been around these guys enough to not be, you know, starstruck. But I actually was kind of like, I'm talking to Jimmy Johnson here. And I didn't. The one guy I did not get a picture with my daughter was Jimmy Johnson. It was really kind of a bummer, but he could not have been nicer. She's like on a first name basis with Kyle Larson. Every time she comes here, he wins.
He's winning.
So, you know, she's met, you know, Matt Kenseth, Jeff Gordon, you know, like I said, Greg Biffle.
That's awesome.
You know, just very fortunate to be able to put her in that position
yeah.
and get a picture with all those guys. And And unfortunately, my boys are a little too high energy to come and do that. So I need to probably give them some Benadryl and
reel them in a little
knock
bit.
Them out before they come up there. But yeah, this is just a great place. I have so many, like I said, so many of my racing memories as a kid are here. I went to Victory Lane here when I was 10 years old. My uncle's race team won the Champion Sparkplug 400 this race back in 1982.
Nice. It's the year I was born.
Really?
Yeah.
I know someone who was born the next year.
I know you do.
And it's funny because I actually can remember the week she was born. Like, yeah. Again, my uncle's race team won the NASCAR Winston Cup Championship in 1983. So obviously I was paying paying some attention as a 10-year-old. And, you know, they won a race at Darlington and then won the next race at Dover. And in between, that person was born.
Wow.
And I'm like, I remember that week. All right. There you go. Perfect. Perfect.
Colt, what do you think of the big three right now? I mean,
Ford, Dodge, and Chevrolet.
Yeah.
No, the big three. Kevin Harvick. Let me see if I pass the quiz.
All right. Go ahead.
Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, and Martin Truex Jr.
Ooh, yes. Very nice.
Yeah, I nailed it. Nailed it.
What? I mean, I think what they're doing is pretty special.
We see this from time to time. You know, I could remember back 1998-ish, you had Mark Martin and Jeff Gordon won something like 21 out of 33 races or something like that. So it just happens from time to time. The, you know, three teams will hit on something and that's
they're dialed in.
They're just dialed in, you know.
It's going to be fun to watch. I mean, by all accounts, you know, unless something crazy happens, I think I mentioned this on the show last week. I mean, there's no reason why you don't have those four or those three at Homestead.
Well,
you know, I mean, unless something, like I said, crazy happens during the playoffs.
I mean, the only way that I would go that far out on a limb is if they all had enough, you know,
points to carry
to lock
through.
Themselves in.
Yeah.
I don't know that all three of them will, because anything can. And as we have seen in the past, does happen in the playoffs. And really, you can have 26 perfect races come out and have one really horrible one in that first week, and you're done.
Sure.
So, you know, they're going to want to keep knocking things out until we get to race 26. Once we do that, they still have to perform, because any one thing goes wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, by all accounts, they all should be through to at least the round of 12.
You would assume that they would. And I'm not saying that they won't all make Homestead.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that I'm with you.
It's really likely. It's looking likely.
But the fun thing will be watching
that fourth guy. Who is that?
And they're going to have to avoid the loose lug nut or a pit road speeding penalty at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Or, you know, any one of the, just someone losing it in front of them and taking them out. I mean, just those weird, crazy things that can pop up and change things. And, you know, we've seen it in the past. I mean, Truex a couple of years ago, I thought, you know, the year that he and the 78 team really started coming around.
Yep.
And, you know, they looked really good, but they got to the playoffs and just a couple of things did not go their way. And that's all it took.
Yeah, no, you're right. Absolutely. All right, Cone. Well, thanks for stopping by as always, man. Appreciate it.
Tell Ben Rhodes I appreciate all of his political commentary on Twitter.
I will do that for
you. He was a former speechwriter for Obama, I believe. So, yeah, he loves that. Ask him about it.
I'm going to ask him about that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Those guys, like I said, I hung out with those boys a little bit at Ford, the Ford World Headquarters yesterday. Great young man. Ben Rhodes, Myatt Snyder, Grant. Get Ryan Ellison here, too. He's a good dude.
Sure.
He's going to want to talk about racing at Road America in the Xfinity Series.
Yeah.
He doesn't get a lot of chances to come out and race. Ryan's a good dude. He wants to be a part of it. He's trying. He's working every angle he possibly can.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, good times.
All righty, sir. Well, I'm sure we'll see you around this weekend.
Right, Lindsay's going to come and hang out with me for the rest of the day.
Sounds good to me.
All right, you're in the clear.
All right, we'll see you, Cone.
You got it.
Always a fun time when the Orange Cone stops on the Lap Traffic Podcast. Oh, great way to kick off episode number 85. Gonna run down the lineup again one more time for you guys. Ben Rhodes, Myatt Snyder, Julius Curry, Grant Enfinger, and Matt DiBenedetto. And hey, who knows? I've got walking around equipment. I can get some feed in the garage, perhaps. So who knows what maybe short clip I might be able to throw on here later as well. Yunkers, hopefully, get here soon. Can't wait to see them, hang out with them. Coming up first, from Thor Motorsports. Ben Rhodes and Myatt Snyder are going to be on here in just a minute, so stay tuned. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, I am joined in Radio Room 3 of the MIS Media Center with some Thor Motorsports guys. I have driver of the number 41, Mr. Ben Rhodes, and driver of the number 13, Mr. Myatt Snyder. Guys, how's it going?
It's going pretty well.
Yeah? Welcome. So you guys have been having a pretty good year with Thor Motorsports. Ben, you're sitting seventh in points. You got a win. Kentucky a couple weeks back. Myatt, ninth, just outside on that bubble, but rookie year with five top tens. So how's each of your seasons going from your own perspectives there?
Well, Bubble Boy, you want to go first?
Well.
Wow. It's a tough crowd here. It's a tough room.
I know exactly how he feels. It's not a fun position to be in. So he can explain a lot better than I probably could.
Well, we've had speed just about everywhere we've gone this year, and been in contention to win a couple times, but just haven't had that crucial luck factor. And as you know, that can play a pretty heavy role in your season. But no, we've had speed everywhere. We're doing everything that we can do. It's just a matter of tying it all together.
So, and I don't want to be Debbie Downer here. So, and I'm really not. 83 points out from racing and on points. You almost have to be looking at it from a win perspective here. So, MIS Bristol. What would you think your two? Where would your best chance of maybe getting that done at?
Well, they both present pretty good chances, honestly, because Michigan International Speedway is a drafting racetrack for trucks. We basically ride in line most of the race, trying to time our passes and basically really think about everything that you do in the racetrack. Because if you try to make a pass at the wrong time, you're going to lose at least six spots because everybody's just going to freight train you on the outside. So you're trying to think about every pass that you make and make sure you do it right. Otherwise, you lose spots. And then Bristol is it's a short track, so no holds barred there.
Open. Ben, so you got your win, so you're sitting comfortable.
Yeah. I'm happy about that.
Yeah, I bet you are. What's your team's mindset heading into these last two races before the playoffs start?
You know, really, so I've got myself in a little bit of a pickle. I wouldn't say that bad, but it not the best position. These past couple races, Pocono, Eldora, both extremely fast race trucks, but a couple driver errors there. So
nonsense.
Here at Michigan, yeah, that happens, but we're in the playoffs. That's all that matters now. We just want to pick up playoff points, the bonus points. So that means winning stages and winning races for the five bonus points. And that's what we need. You look at somebody like Johnny Sauter, he's got so many. It's going to carry him pretty far.
Absolutely.
And it's hard to beat that. So we need to build up as many as we can in the regular season. And Michigan's a good track to do that, but you got to have good teammates. And Myatt's a good teammate. I think we're going to be working together quite a bit this weekend.
Awesome. So one of the things that when I was looking at the truck schedule and putting the show together for this week was the truck series has gone to a variety of racetracks in a short period of time. You know, at the beginning of the season, you guys race 2 weeks, you get 5 weeks off, basically. In a short time period, you've been to a mile and a half, a dirt track, Pocono, and now here at MIS. So, you know, you guys don't have the fleet of cars like the Cup guys do and all that. What was the preparation and how do you work with hitting those many different style of tracks in such a short period of time?
I think it's fun. For a driver, I enjoy the challenge. For the team, that's where the real challenge is.
Right.
You know, I enjoy the challenge. I get to go and have fun, but for the team, you know, it's a challenge in itself just to get that many different trucks together and ready. But I know on my team, the 41 team, we do a really good job on trying to cycle out the trucks and have a fleet always in rotation. When you get into wrecks, that's where the problems are.
Sure, right.
You know, so going here to Michigan, we actually are running the truck that we ran last at Pocono.
Okay.
So hopefully we made some adjustments on it. It actually won Kentucky Speedway. It's a good low drag truck, so hopefully it'll be really fast here.
And as a rookie, what's your take going into these many different tracks like that? Has it been a little bit more of a mental struggle for you, or have you adapted pretty well there?
Well, I mean, me and Ben were actually talking with one of our body hangers before we left for Michigan, and he said it's kind of a dual-edged sword because Eldora almost always tears up a race truck. However, you usually take one of your already beaten up trucks, you know, one that's all crumpled up and has been through some abuse already, and you get an extra race out of it because you basically know you're going to tear it up, so you take one of your worst trucks. But no, I mean, all these tracks have been a lot of fun. Eldora especially, I had a blast doing that. Plus, it helped that we were fast.
Right.
I go out there and I set an unofficial track record in practice, so I was pretty pleased with that.
That's awesome.
So, Yeah, Pocono was fun. Kentucky was fun for the most part.
Well, and so coming to Michigan, you've only got one ARCA start here, if memory serves correct and I did my research correctly. So, Ben, you've got a couple starts here in the Truck Series. Done pretty good here, too. Have you warned him going into turn one, hold tight and close your eyes, basically?
No, you know, in the Truck Series, it's funny. We actually go faster than the Cup guys do in the corners. And it's interesting to me to see that speed difference down the straightaways that we have, but we're faster in the corners than the Cup guys. It's a totally different, unique race than anything you've ever raced here before. The drafting is just absolutely insane. The better you can work with your teammates, the better you're going to finish. I mean, that is hands down your biggest advantage at this racetrack, is just having a bunch of teammates. And luckily, I've got three. My Snyder's okay. I think he's good. I think he's a good guy. I don't think he'll leave me out to dry.
You know, I'm going to watch you guys tomorrow on the track, and I'm just going to be having a little smirk on my face as I see you two on the track together.
Hey, it all depends on how much smack you talk today. We
work together really, really well at Pocono, you know?
That is true. Me and Ben have talked a lot about working together, because you almost have to here, because, you know, you can try and solo it, but you're going to end up hung out to dry eventually.
Yes.
So, you know, there's a lot of people who tried to make ill-advised passes last year, and they just lost tons of spots. So it's all about being patient here.
Like, look at Kyle Busch last year. He was trying to pass for the lead at one time, and he went from the lead to fourth, all going into turn one. And then Johnny Sauter went from fourth to first, just passed them, just blew their doors off going into turn one because drafting's so big.
Well, you get that wide-open track, no restrictor plate. I mean, it actually... The drafting kind of plays a bigger role here a little bit than it even might at a track like Talladega, because that's am I right with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like Talladega, you know, you're in the pack, and it's kind of a set. You know, you have expectations. You know what to expect. Here, you know, if you ruin your momentum, which is really easy to do, or if you don't have somebody to help push you past the next truck, you know, you're going to lose a lot more positions than maybe you would at Talladega.
Sure. Yep. All right. So I ask everyone, because MIS is my home track. That's why I'm here. What do you guys like about either coming out to the track, this area? Is there some place you found that you like to go and do here that you go and eat at, something? What do you guys like about coming to the Irish Hills?
Well, I actually have a lot of family from up here. We actually have 30 people coming.
No kidding. What part?
They stay in Pentwater.
Okay.
The fans here are cool.
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Is like the Talladega of the North for me.
Really?
I
love that.
Watching, the camping ground is kind of insane.
I enjoy watching the fans, people watching. I mean, there was one time, I think it was 2016, we came in, this guy had a full bar set up. And he was passed out before the race, and we get done with the race, he's in the same spot, still passed out. I mean, you know, the 36 trucks on the track didn't wake him up
at all.
Didn't do a thing, passed out in the grass. I mean, he was partying hard.
Oh, that is fantastic. I love that. That story's going to be told again. That's awesome.
Talladega of the North.
I like that. That's fantastic.
That's
You're
going
to see that in a hashtag later when I tweet the show out to you.
That's how we're hoping to celebrate Saturday night, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
We want all four Thor Sport trucks in the top four. I don't, you know, I'm in the playoffs. Yeah, I'd like to win, but truth of the matter is, we just need all four of them up there.
Absolutely.
This is a company racetrack. You know, this is a manufacturer racetrack. We need to do well for all the people involved.
Manufacturer supremacy here carries a lot of weight for a lot of teams, which is, it's really cool, you know, that, you know, Ford unveiled the Mustang yesterday and all that, you know, the sport really takes a hold and it means a lot when the drivers in all three series, you know, come here, do well and win for the manufacturer. That's definitely some bragging rights for the manufacturer. So
I know Myatt wants it, but I want it too. It's a special moment. I think the last time that Ford won here was like in 2008, Truck Series.
It's been
2009.
A minute.
It's been a while.
Yes.
I want to be able to give them that experience again.
Awesome. Very cool. Guys, I want to thank you so much for taking some time to come on the Lap Traffic Podcast. Big thanks to Ben Rhodes, driver of the 41, Myatt Snyder, driver of the number 13 with Thor Motorsports. Guys, good luck this weekend. Good luck the rest of the season.
All right. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, guys. Well, how cool was that, Lap Traffic Nation, being able to talk with Ben, who's been on the show a couple times, and Myatt making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. That was so much fun. Those guys having a good time. You can definitely tell Ben likes razzing and hazing a little bit. Myatt there being the rookie in the team over there at Thor Motorsports, which is a lot of fun. Those guys had some fun in here today, which was very cool. We've got Ben and Myatt's teammate, Grant Enfinger, coming up here in just a second. I'll have that up here ready to roll for you guys a little bit later. Don't forget, Julius Curry is going to be back on the show, as well as Matt DiBenedetto. And who knows, maybe even Ryan Ellis might talk a little bit about his upcoming Xfinity race. And who knows what other surprises might pop on the show. All right, Lap Traffic Podcast Nation. All right, so did the interview with Grant Enfinger and recorded it, brought it back here to the media center to put on the mixer and all that good stuff, and just the sound quality of it was not there, and that was because we did it outside the hauler next to his truck, which was cool. That said, that was right when cup practice started, so there is a lot of background noise, and it just really did not come out that well. So rather than have a scratchy 10-minute interview there, I just didn't think it would be the best sound quality. That said, Grant talked about his run at Eldora, finishing second to Chase and battling, beating and banging off each other for 25 laps, and said that was a lot of fun. Little, you know, obviously bummer that they didn't come out with the win there. Also talked about how much of a great dynamic and team mentality they have at Thor. Talked to his teammates Ben and Myatt, who were on a little bit earlier. And he is from Alabama, actually. And I told him that Ben called MIS the Alabama of the North because Chase was commenting on all of the empty beer cans that just get thrown all over the MIS infield and was talking about Alabama. And I said, well, I go, Ben called it the Alabama of the North. And he wasn't sure about that. He was going to go and talk to him about that. So we'll see what happens with that. That'd be cool if they started some Twitter stuff back and forth about whether or not MIS was Alabama of the North. He also talked about going out there this weekend, hopefully being able to rack up a couple extra playoff points. You know, they're sitting third in the points, but only two playoff points. So they are definitely hoping, obviously, and going out there and trying to rack up a few more points before the playoffs start here in a couple races. That said, I was able to grid walk Michael Waltrip in the truck garage and got him for a couple minutes. So I do have that. That audio actually came out pretty cool. So here is Michael Waltrip. All right, Lap Traffic Nation. I'm in the garage with the legendary, the founder of the grid walk, Michael Waltrip. Mike, how's it going, man?
It's good. I'm doing a bit of a grid walk here in the garage area. The trucks are all staged by their haulers, and it's just fun to be able to walk by and see the drivers and crew chiefs and see what they're thinking about this upcoming race here at Michigan.
That's all. I want one question for you, Mike. We got two races left in the truck series. What are we going to see here with these guys that are fighting for points, that are on the bubble, that's going to be hard to race in on points, that have to go out there for wins at MIS or Bristol?
Well, it's a lot of pressure for sure, and Matt Crafton's feeling it. He's in, but could be out if Todd Gilliland wins. So there's a lot of things that are going to be closely monitored by these crew chiefs, trying to figure out when to pit, when to stay out, how they might be able to use strategy to get the victory.
Awesome. Mike, thanks so much for taking a minute. Appreciate it. Have fun this weekend.
Yeah, thank y'all.
Thank you very much.
All right, that was really cool. Grid walking the legendary grid walker, Michael Waltrip there. That was a lot of fun. I am going to hit some social media here real quick. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Make sure you're subscribing, downloading on Podbean, iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, Blueberry, Acast, you name it, you can find the show. Don't forget about the 3,500 follower giveaway for an autographed Richard Childress 124 diecast commemorating the RCR Museum, and you're also going to get a Lap Traffic t-shirt. Let's see, koozies. I sent some out before I left, which was very cool. If you want a koozie, just hit up the website, fill out the contact page, and I will send one out to you. I'm actually trying to get Aaron, Mr. Race Weather, on Twitter to come on and give us a weather update. So we might have him on here in just a couple minutes. Don't forget to send your lucky dog and lap down picks in. You can tweet your picks at Lap Traffic PC, or I want a full waiver on hotline this week since I'm out here at the track. Call 248-965-9200. 9538 and leave your lucky dog and lap down picks on the Wave Around Hotline. All right, we're going to keep plugging right along here. Well, Lap Traffic Nation, ask and you shall receive, making a rare second appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast this week. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather. Check out the website raceweather.net. Mr. Aaron Studwell, how are you?
I'm doing well, sir, yourself.
Excellent. Thank you so much for taking some time here Friday afternoon to give us a little update for what we can expect this weekend at MIS.
Yeah, it's hard to miss the opportunity to do a little MIS forecasting, home track, and kind of miss it up there.
Absolutely. Well, you're going to have to get up here one of these races.
Yeah, I'm planning on it.
All right. Excellent. All right. So the outlook on Tuesday was, we'll say, positive to positive plus. How are we looking now that it's here?
Fairly positive for today.
Okay.
We have a chance of showers between 4 and 6 this afternoon. We're going to watch the radar and watch for pop-up showers around the Irish Hills area. Going into the rest of the weekend, Saturday, isolated showers, but I think we've got a real good chance of having a full race. Sunday, isolated showers. We got a great chance of a full race. I might be a little pessimistic on the isolated showers because it's looking really good.
Excellent. Well, I like to hear that. And since you're here, and not to put you on the spot, do you got an update for our Xfinity boys?
We do. We have some storms about 35 miles northwest of them. Thunderstorms with embedded lightning. We are monitoring that situation. They expect storms around the Mid-Ohio region, Mid-Ohio track region, about 2 o'clock Eastern. So that'll continue around until 5. So watching the radar. There are some afternoon on-track activities, so and with the threat of lightning, they will just have to stop. I mean, otherwise, just rain, they can go. Lightning, they'll clear the stands, clear the pit areas, and
absolutely
get everybody to safety.
And it sounds like there's a chance that qualifying here for Cup could possibly get rained out here if these
I'm
showers.
Not sure rained out. I think it just matters how patient they want to be.
Okay.
But and because it looks like it's just going to be a passing shower, just a kind of straight shower in the area, and if it hits, it hits. It could be, could be 10 miles away.
Sure.
Yep. And you see dark on the horizon, and it's just not even there, though.
Excellent. Well, I sounds like Sunday's going to be a go, which is fantastic. So I'm
yeah, that's
about
really
that.
Ultimately what we want to have.
Yes.
And, we can miss qualifying, and, we get through all that. But, we want to have the racing on Saturday and Sunday, and we're looking positive.
Absolutely. Well, any fun plans this weekend?
My wife's flying into town on Saturday, so we'll have the weekend together and the whole week together. I do work tomorrow morning, but Sunday we'll be up for soccer, and then we have the MIS race and just enjoy, relax, and take a day off from research and a day off from work.
Excellent.
And hopefully a day off from the radar. So I'll just be live tweeting the race and joining in the fun.
Fantastic. All right, Aaron, thanks so much for coming on. Everyone, make sure you're following Aaron at RaceWeather and checking out raceweather.net. Sir, we'll talk to you Tuesday.
Sounds good. Have a great time this weekend.
Thanks, man. We'll see you.
Later.
Bye. Well, that was awesome of Aaron to make a second appearance on the show this week with a little update for what we can expect weather-wise here at MIS. And man, shows just keep rolling right through. I believe we're going to have Mr. Julius Curry here in just a couple of minutes. A little later, we're going to put Chloe on the spot with her fantasy and get the scoop on her implosion here in segment two. And a little later after that, Matt DiBenedetto. So stay tuned and keep dialed in here to the Lap Traffic Podcast. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, back in studio room 3 here at the MIS Media Center, joined by the owner of Julius Curry Racing, the man himself, Mr. Julius Curry. Welcome back on the show, man.
Man, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be back here. Just got to the track, and I'm happy to be in the studio.
That's awesome. So if I have to say you guys missed the bonus content a few weeks ago with Julius, you guys should go back, check that out. We talked some Michigan football. Go Blue. And some Lions and Packers and all that good stuff. It's almost Michigan football season, man. We are getting there.
Yeah, I can't wait. We got a couple more weeks, and then we'll be kicking off, and guys will be going down the field making tackles on kickoff. And I can't wait to see the Notre Dame game.
that game's going to be fun to watch. Yeah. I can't wait.
Everybody's been asking me about it, and I'm like, man, I think we're going to kick some butt.
Well, you know, I mean, obviously, but I'd be remiss if I didn't say I was a little nervous that we've got the road game with Notre Dame, road game with MSU, and road game with OSU. Like, that's a tall order ahead of us this year.
Yeah, it can't get any tougher than that. I mean, Notre Dame's always play great at home. We don't have a great record playing in Notre Dame. I've actually lost when I was a freshman against Notre Dame, and then we wind up winning with 1 year. But those guys played great there, and Ohio State, Michigan State away, they got the home field advantage. But I think we'll be able to pull it off with Harbaugh this year.
You know, that's speaking about Notre Dame. You know, we went a few years not playing them. Now they're back on. Notre Dame has been a little finicky with Big Ten football.
I mean, but that's the great thing about being independent. They can kind of pick and choose who they want to play against, and it's always great when they play Michigan.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Let's talk some racing this weekend. You just got out to the track. Sights and sounds are ablazing out there. How's the 33 team looking?
We're looking pretty good right now. I think I looked at the screen and said 24 so far, so I'm pretty excited. You know, I'm pretty happy about where we are right now this year as a team, as far as where we're at. And next year we'll definitely be working on and getting farther up in there in the standings. But right now I'm happy just to be in the sport and to be able to represent Detroit.
Excellent. So talk a little bit about what you're, you know, what are you looking to do the last few races here, 2018 and going into 2019 next year?
Well, rest of the season, we're looking at just getting good equipment for next season. Right now, of course, everybody knows KBM and Hopkins chassis have the best stuff out here. So we're going to be looking at some good pieces and working out some deals with Ilmore, get some Ilmore engines probably, and see what manufacturer may step up to the plate and get some sponsorship dollars.
That's awesome. Are you going to look to run the rest of the season in full or what?
Yeah, we're going to run the full season this year. So that's the goal, and that's what we're doing.
So you're going to go to Bristol next week, eh?
Yeah, we'll be in Bristol hanging out.
That's going to be that's on the bucket list. That's maybe in the next year or so as I look back here at the wife in terms of being able to get down to the Bristol race.
Yeah, it's a great track.
All right, so everyone that's come out here and come on the show, you know, I always ask what their favorite thing to do at MIS is or somewhere in the area. Have you found a spot out here that you like to go to? Is there something extra special about coming out to the Irish Hills?
Yeah, it's two places that I really enjoy. Randy's Barbecue.
Oh, the pit with it's got the little pig hanging off the US 12 there.
Stop by Randy's. They have the best brisket, pulled pork sandwiches, and barbecue sausage in the whole state of Michigan. I'm going to say that. And then the other place I like to go to out here is the Cherry Creek Winery.
Ooh.
It's right down the street, and they have some great wine. They make everything there, and they have a few other wineries around Michigan, but that's the best one that I've been to.
Awesome, awesome. And you got a special guest out here this week, too, don't you?
Oh, actually, yeah. Lloyd Carr was supposed to make it. He's not going to be able to make it today.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, he's not going to be able to make it today. I'm working out some things with the team this week, and I kind of wanted to be more private this week in the pits. And but he'll be out. He'll be watching it and supporting on TV at home.
Excellent, excellent. All right, one last question for you. When you look at where you guys are at now with the truck team, looking almost as fundamental truck team, right? In terms of ownership and drivers and all that. And you talk about wanting to get some better equipment and things of that nature. What would be a five-year plan for Julius Curry Racing?
Well, basically, five-year plan with me would be more, honestly, even though we're at the track, I actually am pretty happy where I am right now as far as in truck series. I want to definitely move up some spots in the top 20. But the main thing that I'm focusing on within the next 5 years is really the economic part of the sport. Really seeing how I can help myself as a team owner, and not only myself, but just getting to the community and teaching the community more about motorsports, especially from Detroit. Most kids in Detroit know nothing about NASCAR. They watch it on TV. They may buy the race jackets and hats, but they really don't understand the sport all the way from the point system to to just how to acquire numbers and how to even be involved with sponsorship. And so my main goal now is to reach out to those, the community where I'm from, in the inner cities and the mainly disadvantaged kids and disadvantaged communities, and get in there and tell them about racing, get them an opportunity where they can get training and go to racing school, go to pit crew training school, and get an opportunity to get in the sport.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm excited to watch that progress.
That's my main goal.
That's awesome. Julius, tell everyone where they can follow you and the race team at.
You can follow me on JuliusCurry.racing. Also, Julius Curry Racing, at Julius Curry Racing. And our Twitter is at JC. AJ Curry Racing.
There we go. There we go. We got it.
Yeah.
Julius, thanks for coming back on the show again. Good luck this weekend. Good luck the rest of the year. And look forward to talking to you in the near future and seeing how things are progressing you guys.
Thanks so much. Can't wait to get back on here.
Awesome, man. Thank you.
Yep.
Well, that was very cool talking to Julius Curry again. Like I said, if you missed the bonus content show a couple weeks ago with him, go check that out for sure. Excited to go see them in the pits tomorrow for the truck race as well. All right. I think it's time to hit a little fantasy recap here. Everyone, your picks need to be in today by 5 o'clock Friday. I'm assuming most of you guys have your picks in already. Just to re-hit the top 10 of the standings here, we got Chad Robb in first with 1,069. David James in second with 1,026. Matt Fossum in third with 1,004. Tim Triplett is in fourth with 999. Kathleen McDonald, who's out here at the track this weekend, is in fifth with 980. Amanda Pugh in sixth with 978. John Entwistle is in seventh with 974. Aaron Lamp in eighth with 955. Jeff Legg in ninth with 950. And Chris Lowther wraps out the top 10 with 949. Over to the cumulative standings, Chloe Yunker is back up in first with 2,333. John is in second with 2,327. Tommy is in third with 2,280. Chad is in fourth with 2,275. And David James wraps out the top five with 2,235. Now, I have the legend herself, Miss Chloe Yunker, who's been following me around all day today, and I forced her on the microphone to talk about the demise of her segment two in the Lap Traffic Fantasy. Chloe, what has happened in segment two? Because you're not even on the map here. I mean, you might be doing worse than I am.
I'm first in cumulative still.
So. Oh, wow. Just bragging about the cumulative.
I mean, in segment one, I had a pretty good points lead, but obviously it's not doing too great right now.
No, you are not doing well at all, to be honest with you.
What?
You actually lost the first place cumulative, but you luckily got that back. You're sitting in 20th, and you're actually only a few points ahead of the MOATF podcast. Where have you heard about the little challenge that we have going on, going on with them?
Oh, gosh.
No? So David and I have a little competition going on in terms of whoever finishes better at the end of the year, whether it's Kevin Harvick or Kyle Busch, the loser has to wear a shirt with whatever the other one sends on Periscope and talk about how awesome that driver is and all that kind of good stuff. So, I'm surprised they didn't do that with the standings in lap traffic because I'm not doing too well there at all. I haven't been anywhere to be found. But
I'm really glad I'm not involved in that because I'd never wear a Kevin Harvick shirt.
Oh, if I win, there's going to be a lot of stuff on that shirt. That is for sure. Oh, look at that. PR wife just brought in some Gatorade. Thank you very much there. What did you think of the format of the Lapped Traffic Fantasy League? Should it stay? Should it go?
I think it should stay.
Should stay?
I mean, it's my first time doing anything fantasy, but I really enjoy it kind of gives everybody a chance, even though that's kind of a negative thing nowadays, but for fantasy, it's pretty cool to get people who've never done it before interested.
Absolutely. So. All right. So has the MOATF podcast gotten in your head? Is that why you've slipped in segment two?
No, actually, they don't even talk to me anymore on Twitter. So I'm going to call them out right now
for
that.
Oh, snap. crackle, and pop. All right. Chloe, what do you say? I know you've made your picks and I made my picks, but it's not often that I've got someone to make the picks with together here. What do you say we make some picks? Does that sound good?
All right.
All right. Over to the Truck Series. Chloe, start us off. Who is your pick for the Truck Series this weekend?
I went with my usual Johnny Sauter. He's just an easygoing pick.
He is, you know, he's my pick as well in the Truck Series. Four wins sitting in the Truck Series. Been a little quiet as of late. You know, wrecked out at Eldora. Had some struggles at Pocono, I believe. So Sauter's been a little quiet. This is the perfect type of track for him to make a rebound at. So I don't disagree Definitely. With that at all. The Xfinity Series is racing a couple hours south down in mid-Ohio, Chloe. Who is your pick?
Places.
That's one of your favorite places?
Yeah.
Who is your pick for the Xfinity Series?
You know, I picked Tift. He's my high voltage buddy, so I had to
All right,
give
Matt
a little
Tift.
Plug in there.
Excellent. I kind of went the safe route as well. I went with Mr. Elliott Sadler. One of these days, he's got to get a win. No better time than now. All right, the big one, Sunday. Cup Series, MIS. Chloe, who is your pick?
I mean, I went with the person who won the last, like, besides last time, but won the last, like, three times here, so I picked Larson this week.
Kyle Larson, very good pick there. I don't see how that could be bad. I went total homer. I went with the freaking fast four of Mr. Kevin Harvick for win number 7 on the season. He's got 6 top twos since his last win here back in August of 2010. I'm sick of seeing him finish second. Kevin Harvick, victory lane. All right, those are the picks. Make sure you dial in the Lap Traffic Podcast on Tuesday to see how Chloe and I did, as well as everybody else. All right, Lap Traffic Nation. Got one more set of interviews here coming up in just a minute with Mr. Matt DiBenedetto and Ryan Ellis, who is actually going to be racing in the Xfinity Series here in a couple weeks. So stay tuned here, another minute or so. All right, Lap Traffic Nation. Back to wrap out episode 85 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. And to close out the show today, I am joined by driver of the number 32 Harvest Investment Properties for Go Fast Racing, Mr. Matt DiBenedetto, and she's here too. Mr. Ryan Ellis. What's going on, guys?
Oh, not too much. Glad to be here.
Thanks
Excellent.
For us.
Thanks for coming on, guys. I appreciate it. So we were just talking for a minute before we got going here about crews and all that kind of stuff. You guys have an awesome crew. I've gotten to know on social media a little bit Teresa Keen from Corvette Parts. I've talked to Captain Ron a couple times as well. You guys got a really good group of people. Talk about your team, Matt. It's a cool group.
Yeah, for sure. I just tell everybody we have a group of racers on our team.
That's awesome.
You know, a lot of the big teams have, you know, a lot of engineers and a whole bunch of people. We're a small team, so we have to have a small group of racers that can multitask and do a lot. So it's a good group.
Well, you know, speaking of small team, you know, and one of the things I want you to maybe help explain to the casual NASCAR fan out there, you got 5 top 20s this year, which is really good. And when you are watching on TV and things of that nature, that may not get the credit that it's due. Why is that good for a team like you guys? And how do you grow with that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're running on a sixth of the budget of the, you know, fifth to a sixth of the budget of the big team. So when we can have those runs, like when we finish in the top 20, those are basically like wins for us, because at that point you're outperforming people on literally multiple times your budget. And, you know, at the end of the day, you realistically shouldn't be doing that. So you're overachieving big time.
Sure.
When you think about it, when someone like, oh, yeah, we beat, you know, them. Oh, they operate on, you know, $20 million more dollars than
sure,
us. If
absolutely.
You beat them, it's
yeah,
very satisfying.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's an incredible accomplishment, and it's been fun to watch and root. As I know, a lot of the social media followers of the sport. You've got a very diehard social media following. Can you talk about the importance of that a little bit? Because that helped get you some sponsorship back earlier in the year. How you know more than anybody how important social media is.
Yeah, for sure. I just, you know, basically everything I do on my social media stuff is just me trying to keep it authentic and make it kind of feel like people are friends with me. That's absolutely. That's our goal. And yeah, it's, you know, it's neat that people not only are like very dedicated to supporting me, but also our entire race team. They understand and kind of have learned with us, you know, what our struggles are and,
sure.
and how much we overcome and how much we do overachieve all the time. And so it's cool that they embrace, you know, my team as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and I think there's so many pros and cons, good things and bad things with social media. But social media is great for a team like yours because that forces people you're going to come across their timelines and they're going to see how much you interact with the fans. They're going to see how cool the videos you do and all that kind of stuff. And that could grab a new follower, and every new follower is, at least how I look at it, is crucial because then that's a new listener for me, so to hopefully, so to speak. So when you've got that dynamic on Twitter, I think it pulls in people, I think, and that is important because if it wasn't for social media, you know, the broadcast may not talk about the 32 team as much, but with social media, people are seeing and being able to get introduced to you guys.
Yeah, exactly. That's a big thing for us and an easy way for us to engage with fans and engage with people and show them, you know, what we do and how we operate as a small team versus what the big
absolutely.
Teams do. It's cool.
Absolutely.
If you use it as the right tool, it's neat. Social media can be known for, you know, being kind of a negative, bad place,
yeah,
but also
yeah.
if you use it right, it can be, you know, used for good. And we just try and focus on using it strictly for good and positive things.
Absolutely.
And focus all our energy and efforts on that and block out all the bad stuff.
Absolutely. I'm with you. All right. So next week you're headed to Bristol, which I think next to MIS is your favorite track, right? Is that
exactly.
So when you get to go to a track like Bristol, what's your mindset going in there? You know, it's late in the season. Is it go out there, have fun, or you know, how much of it is having fun and trying to get prepared for next year too, this late in the season?
Oh yeah. You're always just, you know, focused on how you can be the best you could possibly be at every single race you go to that week leading up to, doing everything, studying every note you can to, yeah. I mean, especially at a track like Bristol too, you know, where we've had success in the past. My best career finish is there, you know, sixth place. So in 2016. So it's cool, a place that we can overachieve a little bit more
sure.
than we can at other places, just because the characteristics of the track kind
yeah.
of, you know, I don't want to say even people out, you're never going to beat the top guys. You're always going to be at a little disadvantage, but it kind of, you know, it allows us to
show off
if we have a good
skill.
Handling race car, we can,
yeah.
you know, compete and beat people that we can on a weekly basis.
Do you have your intro song picked out yet?
I was actually asking Ryan about that. We haven't really heard anything. Yeah. Like, we haven't gotten any emails of picking it or whatever. I'm not sure if we missed something or what it is, but I haven't even picked anything or heard anything. This is a good reminder for Ryan to email them again right now as we speak.
You're welcome.
Yeah, to make sure that we, because I was like, I have something picked out,
nice.
I think. But then I was like, Ryan, we haven't heard anything from Bristol or picked anything
That's
yet.
That's funny. How was the, you've got one practice in today. How was the car and...
It was pretty decent. It was
okay.
Handling okay. I got a little bit loose in my qualifying run there where I ran my best lap. I got a little bit sideways in one and two. So the lap wasn't tremendous, but the car was handling pretty close.
Okay.
So I think we can just fine-tune it right in from here. And you know, hopefully just qualify, get a solid qualifying effort. It's not going to have any lightning speed. We're not going to be up there in the top 20 or
sure.
anything. But
sure.
if we can have a solid spot, maybe beat a few guys that we... you know, technically, theoretically shouldn't. That's all we're looking for here.
You know, I had a couple truck guys in here earlier, and they were talking about how in the truck series, you can run the draft here, and it really comes into play. Can you talk why that isn't the case with the cup cars?
Yeah, the cup cars are just so much faster, and we have so much more horsepower, less downforce, less drag. They're a lot harder to drive than a truck for sure. So all of those things combined make it to where we have to work more on the handling and stuff. There, the trucks are a little bit more just like flat footed and wide open all the way around, which so to me, obviously, I like watching the truck races, very entertaining and fun. But as a driver, a cup car is really fun to drive around here because they are very on edge, tough. They're difficult to drive, require a lot of a lot of driver skill and things like that.
Yeah, awesome. Well, we've got your PR rep, Mr. Ryan Ellis, sitting next to you here. Ryan, you're actually going to be running the Xfinity race here in a couple weeks at Road America. How you gotta be excited about that, eh?
Yeah, it's really exciting just to get back behind the wheel. Obviously, with doing this gig, we only have a few off weeks a year. So, I was able to get permission to run Daytona just because that's such a long race week. I think we're going to end up being there for about 10 days for the Cup Series.
Sure.
Definitely wasn't too bad to run that race, and could have ran Iowa like a month or so ago, but really did not want to go to Iowa. But I love Road America, and actually I really like Iowa as well. I just really needed an off week, I think, after straight weeks. I got that week at home and really excited to get back on track next weekend
How'd that all come together?
After Daytona, myself and BJ McLeod kind of sat down and we had like a verbal agreement to kind of commit to that and then hopefully a little bit more. But obviously it's a little hard with this schedule being full time in the Cup Series as a PR rep. But I just had to work on the funding a little bit and got some sponsors on board like Superlight Cars, Bactel Excavating, Pit Stops for Hope, and a lot of other companies I'll be announcing hopefully today or tomorrow whenever we get a second to write up a press release.
Cool.
So I think I just finished one for Matt, and I got to write one for myself tonight. But, it's just been really exciting to get those partners. And they're all small companies, just like Go Fast. We're all just kind of piecing things together, and it's going to be a fun race.
Cool. What is your racing background? Tell everyone a little bit about your...
I've been racing since I was about 4 years old, and my father and both of my grandfathers were involved in racing. So... my grandfather was actually killed in a racing crash back in 1958. Oh, wow. And somehow through that, my father still got into motorsports and got me into it when I was 4 years old. Ran quarter midgets, go-karts, legends cars, late models, Grand Am, super light prototypes, and then stepped over to NASCAR through a starting park and kind of never looked back. So okay. I've been in the NASCAR world since 2011, I think.
That's awesome. Very cool. Well, good luck at Road America. That's going to be a
Thank
lot
you
of fun.
Very much,
Tell everyone, you've got your own Twitter and social media. Where can everyone find you at?
Yeah, I'm at Ryan Ellis Racing on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I'm just Ryan Ellis. So
awesome.
Obviously, you can follow us there or at GoFastRacing32 for all the team stuff and at Matt D Racing for all of his stuff as well.
Awesome. Well, Matt, guys, thanks for stopping by the Lap Traffic Podcast today. Good luck this weekend, the rest of the season, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Sounds good. Thank
you. Awesome.
Thank you.
Well, Lap Traffic, that was very cool getting to talk with Matt DiBurrito and Ryan Ellis for a little bit. Can't wait to watch Ryan get in the car at Road America. That's going to be a lot of fun. It's getting a little chaotic here in Radio Room 3. But... that said, Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to Brad and Chloe Yunker for stopping by. Chloe, where can everybody find you on Twitter?
Chloe Yunker on Twitter. And then on Instagram is Chloe Yunker 17. And then you can follow the motorsports page, Yunker Motorsports, everywhere.
There. And where's Dad?
I don't know.
Dad, what's your Twitter? I think it's at BYunker30. I think that sounds about right. You can follow. I know. Yeah, the professionalism is on point. You can follow Lindsay at NASCAR by Marriage, and Lap Traffic Nation. That is going to do it for episode 85 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. And make sure you check out the website, the Lap Traffic Podcast. Like on Facebook, the Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter at Lap Traffic PC. Don't forget about the contest. Thank you to all your retweets. Keep doing that. Got to give a big props to all the guests today. Ben Rhodes, Myatt Snyder, Julius Curry, Grant Enfinger, Matt DiBenedetto, Ryan Ellis, and even Michael Waltrip. Huge props to MIS, Brad and Rick Brenner for allowing me to come out here and record today and hang out all weekend. The road to MIS, well, it's here, and it closes next week with episode 86 with Michigan native and MRN's own Jeff Striegel. And next up for me is the Southern 500 in just a few weeks at Darlington with PETM. I cannot wait. don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!